Let us pray. Lord God, we pray you'd send your Holy Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Renew us, I pray, and then equip us to engage in your mission to restore all things to shalom. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I believe we have an insight in the readings today into the mystery of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Today we focus on God the Holy Spirit because it's Pentecost. But really, it's as though Jesus were responding to Philip, or the Father was responding to Philip. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after all this time, the Father and I are one. It's like if someone asked me, I've never met your wife, show me Joanne and that'll be enough just to prove that you're married. And I said to that person, don't you know me? I'm Joanne. You'd think, you're off your nut. And I would be. I mean, it's strange. Jesus and the Father are like this soft focus that is perfectly focused. It's the rings that, and then they're perfectly in line with each other. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. I don't fully understand it, but I know one thing. I want to be right in the middle of those rings. I want to be right in the center of this life made known to us in Jesus Christ, animated by the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. And I want to be so empowered as a community that we would be talking about the glory of God, that we'd be talking about those things that God has accomplished. And so very consistently with the reading in Acts, those from various tribes and languages and peoples say, we all hear the same thing. They're talking about the glory of God. I mean, I know the Raptors, what's going on there is important, but to talk about the glory of God and how God has moved in and through God's people and has done things that is just amazing. That's better. Take nothing away from the Raptors. Pentecost has been seen as the birthday of the church. This community was born by the Spirit. The promises at Easter to wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. Isn't that a beautiful image? If you got dressed every day, wouldn't that be something? Lord, clothe me with power from on high. Help me see life today from your perspective. Help me believe that it's all about glory to God, whose power working in me can do infinitely more than I can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus. See, the problem about the first reading, not the first reading, but the description of these gifted individuals, and through their ingenuity and good communication with one language, we're putting up a monument to themselves. It's kind of like, we are so great. There's no stopping us. And God said, ultimately, that's not healthy for humans. That's just not healthy. And so came down and caused a confusion in their speech, and it's referred to as the Babel, the Tower of Babel or Babel, and that the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost is like a reversal of this trajectory of the human race. We see it still today. Let us make a name for ourselves. We are self-made men and women. What? That's not the Christian way. We live and move and have our being in Jesus. Jesus completely reframes our lives. You know, I'm reading a book or listening to a book by Michelle Obama called Becoming Michelle Obama. And I think she's fantastic. I just want to say that straight up. And she's done just a lot of good. So I can't say enough good about Michelle Obama from what I've heard her. She's also narrating the book, which is interesting. But I've never heard a reference to God. And I'm waiting. I think I'm on disc 12. No reference to God. That she needs God. None at all. And it's to take nothing away from her and what she's done and accomplished. Not a thing. But I find it curious. I just find it curious. Because I believe that we find our true humanity, our true being, in and through Jesus Christ. And then that's animated. It's like the seeds are sown, and then it's watered by the Holy Spirit, and we become ourselves. We become ourselves in community, together. It's part of that renewal that God is at work in and through Jesus. I think it's so amazing when we have statements like in the first reading. It says, so let us come down. Let us come down. Let us go down and confuse their language. The us, this perfect collaboration between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Echoes when let us make humanity in our image as Adam was made and lay lifeless in the dust until the Ruach, the Spirit of God, was breathed into him. And the scripture says, in the Hebrew scripture, it says, and he became a human being. And so to be truly human, I believe we need that infusion of the Holy Spirit. We need to know Jesus. And God's chosen the church to bring that glory, to reveal his glory. And you might scratch your head and say, the church? Well, I'd like to say, yeah, the church. It's plan A. And to my knowledge, there is no plan B. And one thing I think is so beautiful about the church is that we didn't choose each other. Some would prefer that we did, that there was a vetting process before they admitted another person. But that's not the way it is it? And so we have a diversity and a life here that I think is very special. I believe the second chapter of Acts speaks about this diversity and then the unity that the Spirit brings. And even in the way it's structured, I believe, Luke is trying to get a point across. That's my sense anyway. Even the opening sentence this morning, when the day of Pentecost had come, again, this promise of Easter fulfilled, they, the disciples, was it the 12 or a bigger circle, likely a bigger circle, the church, were all together. They were a variety of people, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, and yet they were all together, physically all together. And it's as if Luke is underlining it by saying they were also in one place. You can be all together, but not in one place, but they were both. And they were waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. And then suddenly, there came like a sound of a violent wind. And that's not why I asked the fans to be put on, but I like it anyway. So there was this rush of wind. There was this power. I think that's what it speaks of. It was like wind, but it wasn't. And it filled the whole house. And I don't know how that works, but that's how it was. So there was an abundance. It filled, we assume, even the rooms that were uninhabited. I mean, I don't want to push that too far, but we see both power and abundance. And I think that is a mark of God working in and through us at St. Cuthbert. I'm thinking primarily of St. Cuthbert as I think about this. So there are unity, and they experience this thing individually, but together, and then divided tongues as of fire appear among them, and they all went. And then it divided and went on, rested on each of them. So there's a unity, there's a body, and then there's individuals with individual gifting and manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what God intends. And they were filled with the Spirit, all of them. Isn't that something? All of them were filled with the Spirit. It was a total body experience. I mean, I can't imagine the thrill and the kind of going, what? You know, what's happening here? But they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it found expression through speaking in other languages. Have you ever done that with a language you've never studied? Perhaps there are some who have. I shared this with my ministerial group, and the Pentecostal pastor had some stories for me. Did you know that the head of the Anglican Church, the Worldwide Communion, Justin Welby, as recorded in our church newspaper, someone was asking him about his daily devotion. He said, I speak in tongues every day just to overcome this sort of cerebral kind of life I live, that just that I'd let this prayer language bubble up. An Anglican. What do you know? I brought that up too in my ministerial, and we had a good discussion about that. So there's this visual, there's this audible, it's like this whole experience of the manifestation of this Holy Spirit. And there's a diversity because they spoke in other languages and there was a variety. And so this is some sort of elevated discourse. It's not normal. It's not like these people could speak that language and chose to. There was an act of God here as the Spirit gave them ability. And I believe Luke is underlining this, that this is of God. Make no mistake, this is from God. And so that then it's parsed, it's broken down as to this diversity. And I think that this is an important emphasis of Pentecost. There were Jews from every nation. This was a pilgrimage holy day. And so there were pilgrims from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And I think that reminds us of God's goal and mission. It's to bring all people into relationship, all people into this shalom in and through Jesus Christ. And the disciples were a microcosm of that. Do you see the parallel? We are a microcosm of that, to bear witness the entire world. And so how we get along and how we live that is critical, critical. We don't turn our backs on anyone in the community, especially the person that bothers you the most. No, we don't write anyone off because we have been brought together. And we celebrate the diversity, even though sometimes it's hard. For us, it was hard for them. Through this manifestation, a crowd gathered, which often happens. When God is at work and bearing witness, giving revelation, a crowd gathers. The reason we're told is that each one, again, it's the many, the crowd, and then each one heard them speaking in their native language. Each one. And these were Jews from all over the world, every nation under heaven, and they heard their own language. And they asked a question, which is a good thing to do when you're faced with something new. Are not all of these disciples, those speaking, Galileans? Because it should have been the same tongue and even the same regional dialect. At least that's what I hear. And it wasn't. And how is it that we, again, the many, hear all of these 17 different language groups or dialects? I think that's what's being pointed to here. We heard in our own language. How is that possible? It's familiar. It's clear. And we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. What a day that was. What a day. What was their response? They were amazed and perplexed. So sometimes when we're faced with God's work, God's manifestation, we go, we don't understand. It's five times there, it's repeated, amazed and perplexed, or amazed and astonished. They were outside of themselves with this experience. They said to one another, and I think it's a great question when we're faced with things that baffle us, what does this mean? Don't you think that's a good question? What does this mean? It's not judgmental. It's not distancing yourself from it. It's saying, what do you think this means? The search for meaning is such a good thing, and I'd love to model that more and more here at St. Cuthbert. It's such a good response to that which is confounding and bewildering. What does it mean? I believe it's an acknowledgement that God's purposes are not our purposes, that God might actually be working apart from our agenda, and that things of God can unfold in ways that are not clear to us, that we don't even understand. But we can turn to each other and say, what do you think this means? What does your small group think this means? What does that prayer group here, are you getting a message? Are you getting any clarity on this? Parish council, what do you think this means? This opportunity, what does it mean? Is this the right time? Vision committee, what is it to talk about vision at this time? What does it mean, those situations around us? And how does it inform our understanding of God's activity? I don't want to be one who sneers and just dismisses the idea as crazy. Peter stood up and gave a historical context and quoted the prophet Joel and said, you know what? It was prophesied that something like this would happen. People will prophesy, the young men will see visions, the old men will dream dreams. It's not that they're drunk. This this is going to happen in the last days. And I understand the last days as those days between Christ's ascension and Christ's return. In my mind, it's a broad sort of, and we're in it. We're in the last days. And the point is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That people could come to St. Cuthbert and see this community modeled. Individuals, and yet there's a family, there's something going on here that's beyond just the sum of the individuals. There's another aspect here. And that we would contribute and partake, collaborate with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, serving this plan of redemption of all people. So that we can all ask, what does this mean? What's the meaning of life for me? That we could have purpose and meanings and meaning in our life and know God's affirmation. Some of us didn't have the opportunity or benefit of being raised up in a church where there was a children's program. Or maybe we didn't grow up in a church. And so we're coming at this later in life. Well, let's keep the focus on Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And maybe let's take Jesus at his word that says, if you ask for anything in my name, I'll do that. And so why not ask for revelation today, that God would make God's self known to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that together, corporately, we could say, Jesus, you said that we would do greater works than you even did. So when we say at the end of the service, glory to God, whose power working in us, we think, God, this is crazy to pray this, and yet you've told us to pray it, so help us to live in this. And then the final promise that I think is fulfilled here is that Jesus said, I will ask the Father to send you another advocate, Jesus being the first to walk with them, another advocate in the Holy Spirit. So I give thanks today for Pentecost. I give thanks for all of you that I can be part of this this congregation. And let's just keep awake to the purposes of God, to the glory of God. Amen.